Blog Talk Radio. International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association. Of course, we're coming from the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We are so delighted to have you this morning to spend time with us as we continue talking about the chapter on desire. Now, of course, I'd like to welcome my co-group member from the virtual group of the International Mastermind Association, Chad. Good morning, and thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Shawana. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. And you?
I'm doing well.
Good. So just to let you know a little bit about what's coming up this morning, we are going to go to the book, like we always do, starting with page 40, picking up again on that chapter of desire. We'll have a lively discussion about some of the previous weeks, as well as talk to a special guest, Brina Penfelt, and her thoughts on the desire chapter, as well as using a vision board. And on that note, we are going to take a quick commercial, and then we'll be right back with Chad.
At Sell to Success, we strongly encourage each of our listeners to acquire a personal copy of How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Betker. ISBN number 0671-79437X. I say again, ISBN 0671-79437X by Frank Betger, BETTGER. Sell to Success.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back. And as Shawana said, we were going to go to the now, right to the book, and we want to get into the book and really look at some of the stuff that Napoleon Hill wrote about and some of the ways that he encouraged us to go with our desire, to use our desire to drive us to the point of success. We know that strong desires can achieve success. So we want to start, we want to take it back to page 38. And we have on the line with us also Shamir Jackson, my wife, and she's going to help us out this morning. She also wants to join the conversation and also help us out a little bit as well. So, Shamir, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Good morning to you. How do you feel this morning?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Shawana?
I'm great. And, you know, it has been a wonderful month of Saturdays talking about desire and moving from those first steps to being fully committed. And then we're going to talk about having those visions of your desires in front of you. So, guys, I'm really excited about this morning.
Awesome.
Thanks. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, we're like Chad said, we're on page 38 at the top of the book, at the top of page 38, Think and Grow Rich. And it says, reason told me plainly that there was no adequate compensation for the lack of ears and natural hearing equipment. Desire, backed by faith, pushed reason aside and inspired me to carry on. As I analyzed the experience in retrospect, I can see now that my son's faith in me had much to do with the astounding results. He did not question anything I told him. I sold him the idea that he had a distinct advantage over his older brother, and that this advantage will reflect itself in many ways. If I may, I think it's important to stop there for a moment and just to really take in what it's saying when it comes to just being sold the idea that you have the advantage over someone else due to something that someone else may have considered a disadvantage.
Correct.
That's just really profound and really powerful to me, because it just goes to show that we know if you have that desire to do something and you can see it happening and you put it into play, whether it be for yourself or for someone else, There's no stopping you, period.
Correct. And let me say this. This particular part of the book is where we're discussing Napoleon Hill's challenge. His son was born without the ears. I remember Mike talking about this earlier before he left to go to China. He talked about this, I believe, in the first one. So if you get a chance to go back, make sure you download some of these older shows that we did before. And he right now, at this state of the book, he's talking about the complications that his son had with not being able to hear, and how he helped his son to form a desire. And a lot of times, you know, I relate that to what we see nowadays with the parents putting their kids in different sports and different areas or different programs as far as the arts is concerned. And you're really pushing your child to achieve and to grow and to get better. But based upon that, you see some kids that actually take it and blossom, and you see some kids that join those organizations and really fizzle out at the end. And I think that's a part of that has a lot to do with the desire that is placed into that child, and whether that desire is of the child or is it of the parent. And a lot of the times, you know, that plays a big part in who kids turn out to be, because, you know, Napoleon Hill is definitely going to discuss how that desire transmutes itself or changes itself into the physical equivalent. In our case, you know, we speak about money, but also even if you're trying to work on something as far as your character, you know, that desire of a definite point can kind of mold you and mold and shape your reality into something new. And I think that is a good point to start right there. So if you could continue to, you know, read the story for us and help to understand. Yes.
I'd like to contribute to that discussion just a little bit before we continue. And read these pages in regards to this point of the book. You know, I really struggled with it in talking about it this morning, because the desire was initially so strong in the parent and not the actual child. And so kind of from my viewpoint was that, you know, sometimes others try to force their desires on to you. And so in this case, it's a parent and a child, and it's a positive situation. However, sometimes it's not a positive situation. So I had some iffy feelings about it. But at the end of the day, and, you know, in reading this whole part of the chapter on desire, you find out, you know, it was actually a great benefit both for the son and for the family. And I'll certainly let Shamir continue.
Awesome.
Okay. We could notice that the child's hearing was gradually improving. Moreover, he had not the slightest tendency to be self-conscious about because of his affliction. When he was about 7, he showed the first evidence that our method of servicing his mind was bearing fruit. For several months, he begged for the privilege of selling newspapers, but his mother would not give her consent. She was afraid that his deafness made it unsafe for him to go out on the street alone. Finally, he took matters into his own hands. One afternoon, when he was left at home with the servants, he climbed through the kitchen window, shinned to the ground, and set out on his own. He borrowed 6 cents in capital from the neighborhood shoemaker, invested it in papers, sold out, reinvested, and kept repeating this process until late in the evening. After balancing his accounts and paying back the 6 cents he had borrowed from the banker, he had a net profit of 42 cents. When he got home that night, we found him in bed asleep with the money tightly clenched in his little hand. His mother opened His mother opened his hand, removed the coins, and cried. Of all things, crying over her son's victory seemed so inappropriate. My reaction was the reverse. I laughed heartily, for I knew that my endeavor to plant in the child's mind an attitude of faith in himself had been successful. His mother saw in his first business venture a little deaf boy who had gone out in the street and risked his life to earn money. I saw a brave, ambitious, self-reliant little businessman whose stock in himself had been increased 100% because he had gone into business on his own initiative, and had won. The transaction pleased me because I knew that he had given evidence of a trait of resourcefulness that would go with him all through life. Later events proved this to be true. When his older brother wanted something, he would lie down on the floor, kick his feet in the air, cry for it, and get it. When the little, quote-unquote, little deaf boy wanted something, he would plan a way to earn the money, then buy it for himself. He would follow that pattern throughout adult life. Truly,
you know,
Shamir?
You know, I really want to hit one of those points hard. About the little deaf boy, and that when it says that he had gone into business for himself on his own terms, I think that is really a significant statement. And I think as folks just move through the process of having an idea, you know, the idea becoming more real and a true desire and them learning to be committed, I think it's an extra benefit. And when he says that he went into business on his own terms. And on that note, I want to go into a quick commercial, and then let's come back and get Chad's thought on that particular point.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
So, Chad, what are your thoughts? And again, thinking back on this chapter of desire, how we've talked about different things, including taking those first steps and being committed. What are your thoughts about that particular phrase and that going in, making the decision to go into business and on his own terms?
Well, I definitely believe that was a turning point to me. That's why I brought up the point about parents putting their kids into sports and different arts training, because when it boils down to it, yeah, it starts off as a desire of the parent, you know, to want the best for their kid, to kind of use their experience in life to map out, you know, you will have to have this when you, you know, at a certain age, you will have to have experienced these things, and to kind of give the kid a good life. But like you said, you know, some parents do it in a negative way, which produces a negative desire. But one of the points that, you know, Napoleon Hill is going to point out later is talking about making a conscious effort. And I believe that's what makes the difference, the conscious effort that he made to live this out in front of his son, to constantly not let his son take his disability as an excuse, but to even take it the next step higher, but to use it as an advantage to grow and to become better and to become normal, put himself in normal circumstances, and even his drive. You know, you've seen his son desire, his drive, because even though his son was told that he couldn't leave, he still snuck out, still went and got money, still made all of those transactions and on his own, with his own mind and with his own plan, because his parents had already said no. So you already see that's the major turning point that's going to help produce him to go into business, but it's also going to help him to become more normal as well once they get the starting, you know, once they start talking about him producing the product of the hearing aid.
Yeah, that is great. And what that makes me think of another part of this chapter, just kind of going back to it quickly, is that when you are ready for a thing, that it certainly presents itself in your life.
Right.
And on that note, I'll let Shamir pick back up.
Okay.
Yes, hello. I'm just so caught up in listening to you guys, I kind of lost my place. Okay, through his adult life. Truly, my own son taught me that disabilities can be converted into stepping stones on which one may climb towards some worthy goal, unless they are accepted as obstacles and used as a bliss. Alibis, I'm sorry. The little deaf boy went through grade school, high school, and college without being able to hear his teachers, except when they shouted loudly at close range. He did not go to a special school. We were determined that he should live as normal a life as possible and associate with children with hearing. And we stood by that decision, although it cost us many heated debates with school officials. While he was in high school, he tried a hearing aid, but it was of no value to him. During his last week in college, something happened which marked the most important turning point of his life. Through what seemed to be mere chance, he came into possession of another hearing aid device, which was sent to him on trial. He was slow about testing it because of his disappointment with the earlier device. Finally, he picked the instrument up and more and less carelessly placed it on his head, hooked up the battery, and lo, as if by a stroke of magic, his lifelong desire for normal hearing became a reality. For the first time in his life, he could hear practically as well as any person with normal hearing. Overjoyed because of this quote-unquote changed world, which had been brought to him through his hearing device, he rushed to the telephone, called his mother, and heard her voice perfectly. The next day, he plainly heard the voices of his professors in class for the first time in his life. Previously, he could hear them only when they shouted at short range. He heard the radio. He heard the movies. For the first time in his life, he could converse freely with other people without the necessity of their having to speak loudly. Truly, he had come into possession of a changed world. He had refused to accept nature's error, and by persistent desire, we had induced nature to correct that error through the only practical means available.
Wow, that is great. You hit some awesome points in just these last few pages. I think that very first piece that stands out is the desire for normal hearing had become a reality. And really, the father started it all. And then about staying persistent. So even though nature had not given them any encouragement in regards to him being able to hear, that persistent desire over years, at this point we're talking like an 18-plus. Chad, what are your thoughts on what we're talking about now?
Well, first of all, I believe that when his son had the actual desire of his own, because you know, she explained in the story what his reaction was to the hearing aid to begin with. He didn't really want to, you know, use it because of the previous experience that he had. And I think that's very important for us to look at, because sometimes, even in life, sometimes we face some very hard situations, and those situations leave a bad taste in our mouth. And when those situations come about, we usually don't try to attempt those situations again, but that may be the very next thing that we need to do in order to get through to the next level. Sometimes you do it the first time, it doesn't work out, and it may need to go again, but his desire kind of overruled how he was actually feeling. You could kind of see the struggle or the battle that he had within himself with that particular issue, and by doing overcoming that battle, he was able to start the process off of normal hearing. But the hearing aid itself, his desire from the hearing aid, you know, he overcame that battle by putting it back in his ear, trying it out, and seeing that he was actually able to use that to begin with the hearing process. So I do think it's
you know
very
what?
Important.
Chad, that is an excellent point. Just to reinforce is that you're right, he tried so many different things over the years, and
right. Even
though that desire was strong at different points in the process, and at this particular point in the chapter, it's just I'm getting some really bad feedback here. I'm not sure where that's coming from. You know, we'll go to commercial and we will be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, Chad, I'm going to let you pick back up here, and I'm going to check on some of the technical issues that we're having. And from this point, the visit with it is that the difference between the mother and father's reaction to on how the son has kind of gone through life, as well as the difference between the deaf boy and his brother. What about those thoughts?
Well, from a father to another father, I definitely see the purpose, and I see how it plays a major part. Because even dealing with my own kids, that's been one of the things that I strive to do from the beginning, make sure I place a strong belief within them to achieve that nothing is impossible for them, and that they can overcome any circumstance, and that they're super strong, super smart, and that's stuff that I sow into them every day. And that's something that I try to capitalize on every single day, every moment. You know, that's why I brought up the point of making a conscious effort. So not just living a lifestyle recklessly in front of them, or not worrying about just living moment for moment in front of them, but living consciously or prudently in front of them, being concerned about, you know, the future. And that's actually what, you know, something that I strive to do, you know, from day one with them. But definitely once I came across the International Mastermind Association and the book Think and Grow Rich, and, you know, the connection that we made as an organization, that I was able to learn how to actually put more into what I'm doing, and to make sure that I can even incorporate the Think and Grow Rich into my child's life right now. And that's some of the stuff that I'm doing with my help and with my connection to IMA. I'm pouring this same stuff that I'm eating from the book into my kids and into those circumstances and those people around me, to help them to grow to the next level, so that, you know, life can be a little stress-free. And the comment about the little deaf boy is just a comment. I think it comes as a reminder, as a remnant, to remind us that that disability actually became an asset for real, because even though he's at the point where he's conquering, he's still being called a little boy and a deaf boy, a little deaf boy, being called by that title, but not living that type of lifestyle, is, I think, a major victory. So that's, you know, that's what I feel about that particular comment. But if we do have time to read a little more, or anybody has a comment, you may proceed.
Let's do that. Okay.
Yeah. As far as when it comes to that reaction between the, I want to just piggyback on the mother and father issue, where they both had different perspectives on what was going on. But just as a personal experience with our own son, he kind of, and when he was younger, we thought that he had a hearing disability. When really, and as he got older, we realized that it came that he had some sort of speech delay. But because we both, myself and Chad, had that faith and that desire to not have him labeled as having some sort of disability or disorder or deficiency, we continue to work with him while, you know, looking for other techniques or tools. But in that, more so, we embedded in him that there is nothing wrong, that you are just as normal as everyone else. We didn't speak to him as if he was different or anything like that, and we planted it in his head to where he knew that nothing was wrong with him. And as the years have gone by, up until this point, he functions just as normal as everyone else. And the speech delay has become to where, when we finally did take him to go somewhere to get, you know, evaluated or tested or assessed, they didn't see that he had anything wrong with him, because the way that he was able to articulate himself in conversation. I mean, he still has, just like the quote unquote little deaf boy, just like he continues to have people talk to him loudly and everything. That would happen with him in the schools, and with everyone else, they would speak to him as if, you know, he was not able to understand or comprehend what they were saying, or be able to speak his mind the way that he we know that he could. But that desire for him to be like a normal little boy and speak just like everyone else took over, to where was able to go on ahead and effectively function just like everyone else. So this part of the book, it hit me kind of personally, because of the simple fact that, you know, our son went through the same situation. It just wasn't with him having a hearing deficiency, which some people would say is part of what his issue was, but there was absolutely nothing wrong with him. He just has a special way of expressing himself. And it's used to an advantage for him, because he's more passionate about things than most other people would, where they just really just go on ahead and react instead of thinking about it and really finding the best way to express themselves.
Okay. That is a really, really good point. And, you know, as parents, you know, hearing your opinions really just kind of changes the perspective on that. What we'll do, because we're right at the half-hour mark, we'll take a very quick commercial break, and we have a question on the line, and caller at 8535. We will be coming to you right out of the break. So one quick commercial, and then we're going to a caller.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay, and now we're going to the caller. Who am I talking to this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rufus Curry, Jr., the only one you'll ever meet.
Good morning, Rufus.
Hey, look, one, I want to give mad kudos to you all and the job that you all are doing with this show. I'm a little out of breath, but I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone, take care of this body, and stimulate this mind at the same time. So I'm riding my bike. But go back to what Napoleon Hill was attempting to do. What he did was, we have to remember that as a parent, we have obligations. I know when the young lady said that she felt a little iffy about parents imposing their direction or their desires on their children, but we have to remember that Scripture says that children are like arrows in your quiver, and that you have an obligation to point them in a direction. We talk about the response to Napoleon Hill's son going out selling newspapers, the mother's response and the father's response, because the masculine is teaching his children how to hunt. He knows that he's not going to be here forever. So I tell my son every day, in the event that I'm not here tomorrow, I need you to know this. Look, my father died when I was 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days old. Okay? My mother did a heck of a job. She made me a good person. But there were some masculine things that I needed to have along the way that I had to pick up or seek someone else to provide them for me. So to shape my arrow and further direct it. And so when we look at that, as a teacher, I see kids coming into the classroom, and we need to remember this. We like corn, we like wheat, because wheat makes bread, corn makes corn muffins and the whole nine yards. Seeds have to be planted, weeds don't. Seeds have to be planted, the things that we desire, weeds don't. But we want to plant seeds with the attitude of a weed. Weeds proliferate. When Christ talked about the measure of faith and he talked about the mustard seed, he used the mustard seed specifically because the mustard seed is the smallest seed, the smallest origin, and it has the biggest result as far as herbs go. It's the only herb that turns into a tree, and it, when it grows, farmers hated mustard because it would take over their crops. So we want to plant seeds with the mentality or the enthusiasm of a weed, and we need that. I see kids every day. I spend more time weeding than I do irrigating, fertilizing, and what have you like that. So that's a necessary thing as a parent, and even me, you know, as a man who's about to hit the half century mark, I seek irrigation and I seek fertilization on a deck that brought me to Ann McNeil to fertilize me. If that's a good thing, you know, not a bad thing.
That's a great thing to be fertilized by Ann McNeil. She certainly pushes you along, and if you tell Ann you have a desire, trust, she will follow up with you regarding that desire.
Absolutely. You know, so this is a good thing you guys are doing. I love it, man. You guys keep doing this. The energy of this program is off the chart. Off
Thank
the chart.
You. Thank you.
Big Ron, I got you backed up, man. I got some hairy chest over here. I got you.
I appreciate you.
Alrighty, so just to wow, it has been a lively discussion this morning, and we still have a guest to talk to. It's Brina Penfelt, and she has certainly been a lifelong friend of masterminding and creating vision boards, and so we will talk to her just a little bit later. Chad, I'll hand it over to you to keep going.
Okay. Well, I really do appreciate the call by Brother Rufus. I really do appreciate the call. Brother Rufus Curry has his show, the Sales to Success. And one of the things that he said that really stuck out to me is leaving that legacy as far as planting seeds and making sure that you sow these things into the lives of the people. And that's one of the things that Napoleon Hill did, but he just didn't do it with just words. He also did it with his actions. And I think that was a part of the reason why he was celebrating, why he laughed, and why he was happy, because his son finally got it. You know, a lot of times, especially with his situation, with words, mere words wouldn't be able to help his son. He had to show his son through action because his son was hearing impaired. And as parents, as a father, even for the mothers out there, it's a very important role that we play as far as providing that desire, maybe the initial desire, or helping the desire that's already there to grow. I mean, we can be masters or we can be good at many different things. So we just have to be visual and look at the type of things that our kids are doing. And I'm very happy with what my parents did for me. You know, making sure that I had the opportunities to learn certain things, be provided with certain tools and skills to be able to survive, of course, but definitely to be able to grow and to become better. And I think that's a very important part as far as throwing desire out there. But real quick on page 40, it said desire had come, desire had compensated to pay dividends, but victory was not yet complete. This boy still had to find a definite way to convert his disability into the equivalent asset. And I think that part right there was a part that kind of helped me to understand what we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about 4 to 5 steps, which is making sure that even if we are not quite there yet, that we still have the strength and the fortitude to keep moving forward with, you know, we're creating a business, we're being an entrepreneur, or we're trying to move up the corporate ladder. We really have to understand persistence, how it plays a part in our desire as well. And I think that really, you know, set the tone for me to realize that even though he had a major accomplishment, he still had more left to kind of complete. And, you know, Shawana, I would really want to get your response on what that means to you as a mastermind, to realize that you still have more and a little more left to go, but you know that it's reachable, you know that it's obtainable. How does that make you feel?
Wow. That is so weighted, Chad. And before I start my answer, I certainly want to remind callers, if you have a question, if you want to contribute to the conversation, please press 1 so we know, because we definitely want to get you into this discussion, as well as go over to the interview with Brina Penfelt, the sweet coach. And as you were talking, Chad, I was looking at the book, and on page 42 is really where I think most of what we've been talking about this morning, and certainly about the chapter of desire, where it all comes together, is at the bottom of page 42, and it says, "I planted in my son's mind the desire to hear and to speak as any other person hears and speaks. That desire became a reality. I planted in his mind, and going back to those comments that Rufus was making about, you know, what's being planted, I planted in his mind the desire to convert his greatest ability into his greatest asset. That desire was real. The method by which this astounding result was achieved is not hard to describe. It consisted of three very definite acts. First, I mixed faith with the desire for normal hearing, which I passed on to my son. Second, I communicated my desire to him in every conceivable way available through persistent, continuous effort over a period of years. Third, he believed me. So when we, you know, tie that into, you know, our own struggle and, you know, our own desires that we have, you know, in referencing the book Think and Grow Rich, you know, on that day that it's probably at its worst and you're just not sure, I would say, you know, check on these three steps.
Yeah.
Have you gotten your faith involved in the process? Have you communicated that desire in every conceivable way? Have you been persistent and continuous about it? Because this was over many years. And then third, do you really believe? Because, you know, going back to that other statement, you know, just a few pages ago, when you are truly ready, it does present itself. And again, I would go back to Rufus' comment and about even just meeting Ann McNeil and being fertilized, Jermaine fertilized by Ann McNeil. So that would be my response to that particular question.
Cool. Very awesome. I mean, that part right there does it for me, but I have a lot of great quotes on that particular page. Even a little further back up on that same page on 42, where in the italicized part where it says, if Mother Nature bends to the will of a burning desire, it is logical to think that mere human beings can defeat one. And that right there was a very powerful statement to me, because to me, that statement is saying that if you have a burning desire within you to achieve or to obtain or to grasp or to have something, it will outweigh anything that comes and stands in your way. So that means any opposition, that means any problem, that means any heartache, any obstacle that you may face, it will actually overcome that circumstance once you have that burning desire in the inside. And it was saying that even Mother Nature, it will have to take a back seat to your burning desire. And that's something that we have to understand. So even when situations look like it's the complete end and there's no hope, no way of making it out of sight, we still have to understand that we have the victory if we continue, like you said, the continuous, persistent effort, and, of course, the amount of time, the period of years that it took. So that was very important, and I do thank you for that. And
On that note, let's just pause for a second. Let's do a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and keep rolling with the show.
Okay, no problem.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, welcome back. Yes, you on? Shawana, is your mic on?
I was listening to you.
Okay. Awesome. So you want? Well, I guess let's go ahead and continue. All right, we're gonna go to that same page. It continues at the end, and we just want to go down on page 43 to the third paragraph from the top. It says several years ago, if you have that, it says several years ago, one of my business associates became seriously ill. He became worse as time went on and finally was taken to the hospital for surgery. Just before he was wheeled into the operating room, I took a look at him and wondered how anyone as thin and emaciated, sorry about that, as he could possibly go through such a major operation successfully. The surgeon warned me that there was little, if any, chance of ever seeing him alive again. But that was the doctor's opinion. It's some bold writing right there. It was not the opinion of the patient. Just before he was wheeled away, he whispered feebly, "Do not be disturbed, Chief. I will be out of here in a few days." The attending nurse looked at him with pity. Looked at me with pity. But the patient did come through safely. After it was all over, the physician said nothing but his own desire to live saved him. He never would have pulled through if he had not refused to accept the possibility of death. And right there is where I want to just pause to say that we come to that point in our lives with family, with business, with financial, with all of the 10 different areas of life. We come to that point, to the point to where we feel death is occurring or we feel like it's too much for us to bear. But to see somebody else's testimony, to know that even at the point of actual death, they were able to overcome by their belief and desire, I think plays a major role in what we should be using and what we should be doing to help us to overcome circumstances. We first have to believe. I mean, even the Bible says, you know, the soul man thinketh, so is he. You first have to believe. You have to first have to have a belief and then work off of that belief. And what the book pinpoints is that definite place, that definite thing that you desire, not just a general shooting in the dark type answer, but what specifically do you want to achieve? And when we link desire with those particular points in our life, we're able to hit those marks, hit those goals a whole lot better. And even if we have desire and we don't really have a definite point, usually that desire alone will kind of draw itself towards what you're trying to obtain. But if we can get into organizations like the International Mastermind Association and to begin to get into the workbook and learn the different techniques that it takes to help us pinpoint that place, have a group of supporters behind us, have that accountability, have the resources available to us to reach that goal, it's definitely going to be a benefit to us. And that helps us overcome that death feeling or that bad feeling that you get as if you're not going to achieve the goal. And it really helps thrust us to that next level.
Wow, Chad, that is absolutely, that's really powerful. And this is, I think, a special place in the chapter of desire. You know, you can be looking at a pretty bad situation, and even though other people pity you, you know, it's how do you feel about that situation? Where's your faith? You know, and where are you? What is your desire? And we have a caller. We want to go to Miss Ann McNeil. She has a comment kind of based on what you shared today. Ann, are you? Let's go to Ann.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Shawana. Good morning to our Blog Talk listening world. I want to start off by saying that the two of you are on a roll, and I want to piggyback on what Rufus said. It is a very energizing show, and I was holding, not to make a comment, but it wouldn't be not like me if I didn't, of course, right? I really would like to speak and from a contrarian point of view, if you will, and ask the question, what if Napoleon Hill's son was born with ears? What if Napoleon Hill's son was born with ears? We would not have the benefit of having his testimony. And so with that thought in mind, I just want to encourage the two of you, really the three of you, and thank you, Shamir, for sharing from the book. But I'd like for all of us, especially our listening audience, to just think about the fact that we have an opportunity to grow through our trials and tribulations of life, but nothing is either good nor bad, but it's the thinking that makes it so, says Shakespeare. So if Napoleon Hill's son was born with ears, we wouldn't have his testimony, but also if we didn't have to go through certain things, people wouldn't look at our life as a testimony and be able to grow through it. So I just want to encourage all of you doing this show today. You're doing a terrific job. And I just, you know, I love the story about your own family experience, Chad and Shamir, and you're being willing to share that. And Shawana, you're doing a great job, and the show is continuing to pick up steam, if you will. But I just really would like to pose the question to the two of you, the three of you, what if his son was born with ears? Thank you.
Wow, and, you know,
it's a good question.
I kind of had that same question at different points, and, you know, sometimes adversity teaches us who we really are. And in this case, not only does it teach us Napoleon Hill who he is, but in a sense who his family is, who his son is, and that a lot of times we are certainly stronger than we think. And before I hand it over to Chad, I want to make two comments. I know we talked about having a special guest today, Brina Penn Phelps, the Sweet Coach. But in talking with Brina, the reason she was invited is that she talks about how translating that desire into a vision and a vision board and having those things being reinforced in front of you, which I think is certainly a key part in the chapter of desire. But also with Chad and the virtual group and Shamir and Michael and Bernard and putting that group together, you know, and forming a group, you know, there's some adversity on the front end, and you've got to deal with figuring out schedules and availability and accountability and developing a habit and a pattern. And so even our group is kind of going through those challenges. And Chad, you know, what are your comments in response to Ann and talking about adversity and challenges and who it makes you and even your family?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. It made me laugh and it made me think at the same time. I think, you know, with that situation, with Napoleon Hill being the person that he was, I think his desire would have been strong enough to find any problem in his way to overcome and any opportunity to sow into his kid's life that which he had obtained through learning and hardship and research. I think that he would have been able to pass that off whether his son, you know, had the ears or not, but for the sake of the story and the testimony that we're able to see that no circumstances, whether manufactured or actual physical circumstances, can stop us. So, I mean, I appreciate the testimony that came from it as well. And I also feel that if it wasn't that, it would have been something else, and Napoleon Hill would have really nailed it home on that same instance, because the type of person that he was and the desire that he had, and you see that he wrote the book and, you know, and made sure that millions of people had it. So I do think he would have passed the trade-off still just by mere fact of the person who he was. But for me, what really answers everything and what really sums it all up for me is going to be that last paragraph. It says, I believe in the power of desire backed by faith, because I have seen this power lift people from lowly beginnings to places of power and wealth. I have seen it rob the grave of its victims. I have seen it serve as the medium by which individuals stage a comeback after having been defeated in 100 different ways. I have seen it provide my own son with a normal, happy, successful life despite nature's having sent him into the world with a severe disability. And that's like the most powerful thing. And to understand that that desire, back with the faith, back with that belief, back and fortified by that belief, how that actually pushes you through to whatever level you have to grow to, whatever level you have to mature to, whatever level of knowledge you have to gain, how that burning desire back with that belief kind of rocket propels you to that next level. And the force behind that, because the very next chapter is going to go into talking about faith. And then faith is going to lead you into auto-suggestion. And we understand that these things together kind of gives us like the sail to the boat that kind of pushes us along even when we're not actually doing any work. And these things, backed with that, with persistence and some of the other chapters that are outlined in the book, it kind of propels us to where we need to go. But we first have to make sure we get connected, make sure we understand these things and start reading that. And that's where your group comes in. And even if you want to have a book club or a book club party, you know what I'm saying, just call up, call the number, leave a message, you know, post it on Facebook. We'll definitely would love to come and share the Think and Grow Rich, what we do as masterminds. And we'll probably, hey, we can even host a party for you if you want us, just call us up. And if that's cool with Ms. McNeil, we can do something like that for the people, because the understanding the book is a major important component into kind of achieving your goals. And the stuff that Napoleon Hill is saying in this book is beneficial. It's beneficial in every area of your life, not just financial or not just business, but in every area of your life. We have to understand how to operate in our desires and use our beliefs to push our desires and to fortify our desires to make it into where we need to go. And I think that's really what drives it home for me. Shawana.
Wow. Yeah, and I just want to, because we're coming to the last few minutes of the show, so we have about 3 minutes or so. I certainly want to give Shamir a chance to respond. Go ahead, Shamir.
Yeah, really quickly, thank you. To answer Ms. Ann's question, I agree. Even if his son did have ears, it was in his ultimate plan of his life and his family's life for something to come up to where he had to plant that seed of desire for his son to overcome whatever it is was going to happen no matter what. And Chad brought up a good point with that last paragraph. When I was reading that and as he was reading it, all I could think of as a personal example or a more closer example, none of us know Napoleon Hill other than through his book, but Ann McNeil, she, after speaking with her and when I met her and hearing her story, this paragraph took me right back to everything that she told me about herself and how that helped encourage me to become, to go on ahead and start masterminding my own life, and I just really, really am greatly appreciated that I have the opportunity to know her and to build my life in those 10 areas using the IMA as a support for that. But
I think that's just a good point, you know, to kind of stop that. I think we have about 30 seconds or so. But if, you know, you don't take anything else away from the show, certainly take this. And on page 43, that last paragraph, I want to read that sentence again. It says, I believe the power of desire, backed by faith, which is the next chapter, so make sure you come back next Saturday, because I have seen this power lift people from lowly beginnings to places of power and wealth. So get the book, learn what you need to do, and do what you need to do, and join IMA so people can hold you accountable.
Later.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for joining us for the show today. And blessings until the next time.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.